Dark wings.
Dork words.
A Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 6, Episode 1. The Red Woman. Poised on the precipice, I am prepared at long last once again to cast my pod into the ether. So I'll take the plunge. I'm back, folks. Your host, Chuck Davis, once again with the classic...
Mike Hergert? Oh, okay. I thought you were just, boom.
Classic Mike Hergert.
Yep. I just kind of had to jump in.
Everybody jump in. The water's fine. No, jump in.
Go. I'm in. Chris Voorhees reporting for Game of Thrones. Whatever.
Craig McCallie bringing up the rear.
Yeah. Nice. That's a good rear.
Well, thanks.
So, it's been a mighty long time since we... gathered around this table.
Let's see how rusty we are.
Well,
did anyone
rusty?
I ran into you, Mike, last Saturday up at Jerry's Bar, and you asked me if I was ready. And honestly, until that conversation, I hadn't really spared a stray thought, hardly, about Game of Thrones since last season ended. I mean, I'll occasionally, when I'm bored at work, I'll run the gamut of my bookmarks, one of which is George R. R. Martin's Not a Blog, just, yeah. You know, in sort of bleak hope that there would be some
news
about...
Is it N-A-U-G-H-T-A?
He only talks about football and the latest con that he has attended or going to attend or a book signing... Or the movies that are showing at the movie theater that he opened.
Does he ever talk about how much shit he's getting from people for not hurrying up and writing anything down?
No. Not that I mean, I don't read every one of his blog posts, but...
He should get a lot more shit about that.
He gets some. Who was it? Somebody... Oh, Peter Dinklage was on SNL a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they had a little jab at him in the monologue about how he was lazy.
I did not see that. I saw I think I only saw the Peter Dinklage, they did the Naked and Afraid.
Right.
Skit.
Yeah. SNL is not essential viewing at all these days.
Nope.
So.
Hasn't been for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apart from doing that, I really haven't spared much energy thinking about the show or the books. But after I talked to you, Mike...
This is inspiring, really.
This is good. But I got interested again this week. Mike, you told me that there was like a recap thing that you could watch, I think. Or somebody did.
Oh, my boss mentioned it at work. And I think it's on... Well...
I looked for it on HBO and I couldn't find it, so...
It's going to be on Monday nights... It's not like right after the show.
Oh, the recap of each episode.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like a Talking Dead type deal, I think. But it's not going to be until Monday. So, it might only be like online. I'm not sure, like on HBO Go or now.
Talking Dead is surprisingly unwatchable.
Yeah, I never watch it. So,
I skip through it. I like the kind of behind the scenes stuff where they actually break down how they shot something. Or something like that. Or it's interesting to see the actors as themselves for a couple minutes, but not for a whole hour of them talking about their craft. I mean, not that I have a problem with anyone involved. It's just sort of... I think the whole nature of Talking Dead is... You can't talk about a show that's that flawed without addressing any of its flaws, and they never do on that show.
Everything's perfect.
Right. So we'll address flaws... Here, but I don't have any complaints about The Red Woman, this new episode, where I feel somewhat like freed from the books at this point. I feel like now I'm like anyone who never read the books. I can just appreciate it as a cool, interesting TV show with high production values that's got a lot of depth and character, You know, like any other show, I would have read without any preconceived notion of the source material. I'm kind of excited to see where it goes, but, you know, not super invested really in it. I don't feel like anything that they do on the show is going to count for much ultimately, because it's not going to be the real story.
Right.
Because the books already differ so much from...
Well, we've been transitioning away from that feeling we had when we first started watching, and we were just plotting the course of the show along with the books. And over the last season, I mean, last season bore little resemblance to the story in the books.
But they were still obligated to hit certain points, and they hit them sort of in a very ham-fisted manner.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Just to get... All right, let's hurry up and get... somebody to Dorne so we can see Myrcella die, right. or something like that. Right. You know?
Or, yeah, somebody's got to go marry Ramsay Bolton.
Might as well be. Yeah, I mean, the whole Littlefinger's plan for Sansa made no sense whatsoever.
No, right.
After all the clever and successful machinations that he had done and is continuing to do with Sansa in a much more safe and pragmatic way in the books, it's just kind of like, you know... What would happen if you go marry Ramsay Bolton? Just trust me. Right. What could go wrong?
Right. Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Seems like a nice young fellow.
It's Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah.
What could go wrong? But I think last season it was sort of new because you didn't really know what to expect because you knew it was veering away from the books. But at the same time, I was really kind of negative about it. But I would agree with you. This season, I'm looking forward to just having. No idea what they're going to go for, or right. Where it's going to end up,
and not season. And not caring if it
right.
rings true to the books or not.
Yep, because exactly, it's sort of liberating.
Yeah.
Well, I still hope it's awesome.
Did you think this episode was awesome?
I mean, I've thought the opening episode of the last probably three seasons were kind of a drag. Maybe that's kind of the way it has to be in a sense, where there is actually some tying it. Up of loose ends and some introduction of a lot more new soon to be ends. It's a lot of expository type of stuff. It's just not real action packed. It can't be.
Right. Yeah. No, they've
always episode 8.
They've always undercut that stuff on this show.
Right.
I sort of have an ongoing fantasy of that some wealthy fan will step up. And offer millions of dollars of post-production and hire, like, Weta Digital or ILM to give it, like, the deluxe treatment and go in and film some of those Lord of the Rings epic-style battle sequences and stuff and just edit those in and just make, you know, the scope and the scale of the cities and the battles bigger than they are on the show. So anybody, you know, any wealthy billionaires out there?
Any wealthy billionaires listening?
Yep, Bill Gates.
You have the power to make this happen. You could probably, you know, solve world hunger too with that money. But
let's stay on point here.
Right. It's all about the effects. We got to get those effects.
But anyway, so
the army of the dead must be larger.
It all goes back to season one. Where Tyrion was about to enter his first battle on the at the fork, what's it called?
The Red Fork,
the Trident.
Yeah. And they knocked him out.
They knocked him out, and then he came to, and then and the whole battle was over.
Yeah. Right, all and, happened off
but
screen.
Then the show got popular, and then we got some real battles.
Or the tourney of the hand, where there was like 20 people in somebody's backyard. So, but their budget has grown since then with the popularity of the show.
It was a pickup tourney.
Doing good. Shirts and skins.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, so things are, I mean, they really put all their money together for that awesome, like, hard home battle last season.
And the dragons.
And the dragons have some spectacular moments, for sure. So I trust them to... budget wisely for a couple blow your mind moments again this season, and won't really be pissed off that because we won't know what we're missing otherwise. If there's nothing in the story, it's like, well,
yep,
guess there wasn't a battle this week.
Yeah, which I still feel like we'll get some stuff from the book. that. I think we'll get some of the stuff from like the Ironborn point of view that's still in the book.
But they did well. Yeah, we've seen pictures of Yara is going to return this season.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know in what capacity. But you know, the books.
And we haven't seen her since she gave up on Theon.
She tried to rescue Theon.
Right.
Could have. He could have gotten away with her, but he was too reeked out to do it.
Right.
Reek reminded me at some point this episode of the Tin Man. When he was running with Sansa, he looked like the Tin Man.
What, in his physical mannerisms?
Yeah. I just kind of laughed a little bit. That's all I got. There's no second act to that comment.
He's a little stiff in the joints from all the flaying.
Well,
and all that icy water.
Stabbing that guy in the back was his first Theon-esque moment in many seasons.
Yeah. Right. He's unbroken now, maybe. Or semi.
Unbroken?
Unbroken again.
Unbent? Unbowed?
Shit.
He's rebent.
Unreaked.
Unreaked, yeah.
Unbent?
You said it best.
Unreaked.
But, I mean, yeah, where'd we start off? We started off right where we left off. Jon Snow's just...
Still they
just,
dead.
They just leave him. Just,
John, yep, John in the snow.
We'll just stab him a couple times and leave him out in the... Yeah, leave Snow in the snow.
I thought Melisandre was just going to walk in there and get to work on him.
Me right. too. Like, every scene with...
Focus.
With those guys in the room with him... I kept wanting to them just to pan over and show her doing something.
Right.
So, I didn't realize she'd even left the room. They let her in, but they never showed her leave.
Right.
So that's just a continuity point of contention for me.
So we've kind of got, I mean, we've got Tavos finds his body. They kind of is, all his pals bring him inside, and then they...
Have we seen those pals before, apart from Ed?
I think
those are fresh pals.
Yeah, fresh pals.
Freshman pals.
If they wanted to have multiple pals, they could have held on to Gren and Pip. I mean, those guys They're aren't dead casualties. In the books, are they? Maybe Gren died.
Yeah, somebody died at the fight in the giants in the tunnel. I forget who it was.
In the book? Or just
in the book.
Show. Oh, they did, okay.
But, yeah, also in the show.
Right. I think it was Gren that tried to hold the gate in the tunnel. Because he has that conversation. Maybe that was on the show, though, even.
Yeah.
When he sits down with Mance. And
Jon Snow.
And
that was in the show.
They make a comment about that was the king of the giants.
Yeah.
And, well, that was just a farm boy.
Gren. Yeah. It's from a farm.
Right. And they drink.
Yeah, they cheers to him. And then we've got... So Ed's going to go off and I presumably talk to... Tormund, he's gonna go get some wildling support.
Yeah,
I feel right.
Clearly Tormund to the rescue is gonna happen there, and then shortly thereafter it'll be Tormund holding Castle Black to fend off the Boltons. Right? Is it? Didn't we see? Well,
yeah, at the end, or
and that was like scenes from next week.
Yeah.
Well, no, Sansa will show up and save everything. She'll defend Castle Black by herself.
Boy, just her and Brienne.
Oh, yeah, and Brienne.
Right? Looking for a table with some mead and hearth and...
Right. Hearth and home.
Hearth home.
She's already offered it all to Brienne. She's got to come up with that stuff.
Yeah.
Get me a table. Get me a hearth.
As soon as the Boltons caught up to Reek and Sansa, it was pretty obvious that it would be Brienne and Pod to the rescue, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, yeah, they're going to come prancing around the corner at any point.
But it was still a good action moment to satisfy your swordplay urges.
Pod got some good fighting in, I feel like.
Yeah, yes. Pod.
He held his own.
Availing himself well and after his Tarthly tutelage.
And I mean, yeah, like the Brienne from the book is, you know, quite a different storyline from, like, she basically just got fucked up at the end of A Dance with Dragons, or she's just like,
yeah, but I mean, there's crazy cool shit. I mean, I don't know, did we dance around? Well, I guess whatever. We won't.
Yeah, we don't have to go.
It doesn't matter. Now.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. How do you spoil a character that's not going to be on the show anymore?
Right. Like, I mean, there's also no way. Like, so I mean, if he doesn't write any more books, it's like yeah, their stories are already so different that it's like you can't just.
Well, so yeah, I guess he can. I don't think Brienne's ever even going to end up in the North, and Stannis is still alive. Stannis is the one who is about to retake Winterfell.
You mean in the book?
In the book, sorry. I switched gears a little bit.
In the books, they haven't even attacked Winterfell yet.
But they're camping nearby.
Yeah.
And it's not... And Sansa is also nowhere near the North.
No.
So Brienne and Sansa have never even encountered each other, and maybe never will in the books.
Sansa's still at the Eyrie?
Sansa's at the Eyrie. Studying the Game of Thrones under Littlefinger.
Did we comedically note that when Brienne rolled up the second time, and I said Sansa's going to say, or Brienne's going to say, "How about now?
How you like me now?
You want help? You want help now? Finally?"
Because they encountered him at like an inn or something.
Uh huh.
Sansa. Yeah.
And
she told her to light the candles.
At that time, she was with Littlefinger's retinue, and she felt safe and secure.
Right.
And she had a plan, and she didn't know her from Adam.
Sansa was just going to fucking black swan that shit and, like, get... When she was coming down the steps, remember that real provocative...
Like, oh, yeah, the dress. Kind
of, yeah, where she just looks like she was a new, like, you know, she was like a Darth Sansa.
We were all ready for her to...
She's going to become super badass.
And, to be shrewd and Machiavellian.
Yeah.
And instead she just did the dumbest thing she could possibly do after all those years suffering under Joffrey.
Right.
The one character in all of Westeros that's more despicable than Joffrey, she went straight to him and married him.
Yeah.
She learned nothing.
Suffered that. The next, she's hiding by a tree. Just still same old.
Although, I think, like, there was a...
She jumped off something. That's good.
There was a...
Is it? She jumped off something like 40 feet.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
And walked away and ran away for...
Badass,
many
man.
Leagues.
I mean, somebody, I think, asked Sophie Turner, whatever, the actress who plays... Sansa. She's like, sum up Sansa's character this season. She was like, badass bitch or something like that. So hopefully,
starting in episode 2,
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But maybe if we see her start to do some sword sparring with Brienne, but that's not her style.
I literally don't want that to happen.
Me neither. Yeah. Me neither. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, what are those characters going to do now? Where can they go? What can they? Oh no! I guess they're headed to the wall, right?
Yeah. To Castle Black. Right?
All right. Okay. So there's going to be everybody has to. We know everybody has to converge on the wall for the battle with the dead,
and it's going to go well.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
For who?
It's going to be
Before that.
Get to Castle Black. Encounter the White Walkers. Yada yada yada.
Well, what about Alistair and company before that?
What's going to happen there?
I mean,
How are they going to defeat Alistair and company?
Yeah. Well, not how, but they're going to, right?
We don't. I mean, it's still pretty. It's highly unclear how they're going to bring Jon back to life. I think there's no question that he will be resurrected in one form or another, right?
Yeah.
Why is there no question about that? You think it's beyond the showrunners to just. Disappoint their fans like this.
Despite what's happened already, I do think it's
beyond. No.
Melisandre just got into bed and died and was like, I just give up. And then, nope, I don't want to bring anyone back to life.
It could still be wishful thinking on my part. Because they've arbitrarily killed off a lot of people just to narrow the scope of the show a little bit, I think.
It's true.
You know, Stannis, most prominently, probably. Who else did they kill off out of convenience?
Well, Doran is dead now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
His secret awesome plan that we assumed he was going to hatch.
Did they ever even...
Was to get killed.
Yeah.
Good plan.
Oh, it was
he
his...
He had nothing.
It
he
was
had no
his
plan.
Son that had been...
promised to...
Was Marcella's boyfriend, right?
Yeah. Start with the T. Tristan.
Tristan.
So what was on the show Doran's plan, if any?
Well, he sent his son to Marine to marry the Dragon Queen
in the books.
Yeah, in the books.
But on the show, did he have any kind of established plan?
I don't recall him having any plan.
Made you think that. I mean,
well, I was just wondering. I guess at the beginning, where the Sand Snakes seemed to be.
Well, wasn't there? Was there a episode last season where he received a missive and it was they didn't show what it was or something like that?
I guess, I don't know, maybe just because of his long-term planning of revenge scenario that he had in the books, I was waiting for them to reveal what version of that would happen on the show. But honestly, I can't remember if they ever went there or not.
Right.
Or if their whole thing was basically the Sand Snake's impression of him, they just decided to make the reality.
That spear through the back of the head was brutal, man.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Is it the same? Are all the snakes the same, or was one of them different?
Yeah, I think they're all the same.
I know the one with the whip I didn't necessarily recognize, but she might have been the same.
I think so. So, I mean, yeah, so there's no...
So what are those badass bitches going to do?
I feel like they have to be going to...
They just want war. They want revenge on the Lannisters.
Well, okay, so note that she said no weak man will ever rule Dorne again.
Right.
Right.
Do you think they have a strong man in mind?
I think they might be headed for a gynocracy.
A gynocracy. Is that a
gynocracy? It's gynocracy, probably. Yeah, that's a real thing.
Let's put the guy back in gynocracy.
No, let's take the guy out of gynocracy. I guess it's guy, not jai. Okay. I take it all back. Yeah, but well, I don't know if she was being tongue in cheek and doing wordplay there, or if she's.
I think she basically said, I rule Dorne now because everyone wants me to kick ass and get revenge.
Now, is she an usurper? Or would, because she couldn't be in direct line for the throne.
I don't think they're too concerned about that in Dorne.
Right. Well, notice the guards were on board.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
They were.
Except for the one, like, well-established, cool bodyguard character that they... casually dismissed on the show, yeah.
Yeah,
the guy with the pole arm.
They went to all the trouble of making him look just like he was represented in the books, and he didn't really do anything noteworthy on the show. He looked like he was going to be a cool guy, and
I thought he would be around,
yeah.
He helped capture... Because
he had POV chapters in the book.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
What was his name?
He was from the Summer Isles.
Yeah.
And he had a...
Was it Ago?
Start with an O?
Boy. Was it Ago? Start with an A? I don't know.
All right.
Well, it was something memorable.
Obviously. Well,
there's one of your other kills out of convenience, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of mouths to feed.
That's the biggest one. I mean, so they shifted gears completely on what was the Dorne subplot. But you think the Iron Island subplot might come back around in some form?
I think so. I just feel like from the trailers that I saw that we're going to get some Iron Island stuff.
What about Brotherhood Without Banners?
Yeah,
are we ever going to get them back again?
They established that they existed on the show, and they I bet they will just like show up in the battle scene in like the final battle and say, we're here to do our part. You'll see Thoros of Myr just run into a crowd of White Walkers, and that'll be the end of that.
So
what is the plot line then in Dorne? I mean
in the book, they're going to kind of go under secret cover to King's Landing and kind of wreak some havoc. So, but
subterfuge.
I mean, maybe they're going to do some stuff with Highgarden and kind of combine with them because there's.
But aren't they...
No love lost between...
Don't they hate Highgarden, too? Because they're, like, neighbors?
Do they?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hate thy neighbor.
Yeah.
I think they hate
Highgarden. It's a Dornish thing to do.
And they hate the Lannisters.
So, who knows? I mean, I feel like they'll end up in King's Landing somehow.
Probably.
I mean, there's no sense in them just showing that. We're just going to stay in Dorne, guys.
Well, but at this point, Myrcella's dead, Trystane is dead... What reason do they have to go to King's Landing?
They can't really...
Who do they want to kill anymore?
The Mountain still, right? Do they think the Mountain is dead? Or do they know or care? I mean, he's the one that killed
Oberyn.
That's who they most directly want revenge against.
Right.
Well, the Lannisters, I guess, are nominally in charge since Tommen is still the king. It's
hard,
so.
hard to tell. So is I guess you can stay the queen even if you're. Is she off the hook now? Is Cersei off the hook?
No, she still has to do, I think,
community service.
Well, I think there's still a trial to take place, right?
I think now that she's back in the Red Keep, the High Sparrow can't really make her do anything anymore.
Right.
I think they sort of made a calculated thing and decided that having her do the Walk of Shame would raise their profile and their cause more than just torturing her in the cell. Because they couldn't break her completely.
Right.
So they cut her loose.
Because in the book, they do trial by combat eventually. Or that's...
Yes, and they still...
It hasn't actually taken place, but...
But they're planning it.
I suppose that might still happen, yeah. So, yeah, trial by combat so that the gods can decide whether she's innocent or not.
Because I still think she has to go to trial, but she's just... But, yeah, I mean,
so the
I don't know that they can really make her do anything now that she's...
Well, the High Sparrow going to basically say that Cersei and Jaime have sinned because of the incest, which would make...
Well, but she didn't confess to that.
She didn't, but they can still accuse her and then do the trial, I guess.
Yeah. They don't. They haven't established any...
I feel like she's out of
any
pocket.
Evidence
it
of
would
that.
Invalidate Tommen's claim to the throne.
Yeah, it's true. But, I mean, they set up... I mean, they were able to accuse her of adultery because they had Lancel. And they'd been setting that up for a while.
Well,
with
Lancel was a character witness, right?
Yeah, right. Like,
so that's solid.
Yeah, but I mean, she's back in the behind the King's Guard,
right?
Protection.
Yeah,
the sparrows aren't just going to come in and be like, "Oh, come on down for trial."
They wouldn't let her get away from a cell if they meant to try her again.
Right.
I don't think.
What do they want out of Margaery?
And what? And our
a confession
for what? that her brother's gay? I mean, what is it that they want her to say so badly?
Well, they set her up in Loras's trial. They asked her one. They put her on the stand and asked her one question just to establish that she was lying in defense of her brother.
Right.
So they totally set her up. But I suppose it's just because she's actually the queen.
What do they want her to confess, though? Or do they just want to break her down so that she'll?
Good question.
Like any good false interrogation, they can get her to say what they want her to say.
Yeah.
And that and showing that they're deceitful as well? Or do they just truly just want the truth? Are they pure enough, even though their methods are abhorrent, that they just want everyone to be saintly and pure? Or are they just manipulating these key
political
figures?
We don't have a whole lot to go on as far as the High Sparrow's actual motives.
Right.
We have his rhetoric, we have what he's said, but we haven't learned anything about him other than
he kind of dips in and out of seeming like an okay guy and then maybe not so much.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I haven't quite figured it out.
Like, I watched the end of the last episode from last season. And so, I mean, Cersei confesses and then, before she does her little walk of shame deal, the High Sparrow comes out and it's like, oh, she's shown her.
Yeah,
she's on the path. I feel like he's being kind of nice for, like, not like, oh, you can, berate the sinner as she walks and, throw lettuce at her and whatever. So, yeah, like, he has some level of compassion, whether he means it or not, but who knows?
Everything they were doing to Cersei, you almost feel like they're justified because all the bad shit that Cersei did. And even though Margaery is an opportunist and a schemer, she never chose to do anything
out
bad to anyone.
Right. In fact, she's
like
all
a politician.
About helping the poor and when they first showed up.
Yeah,
that was her.
Even though that was all maybe self-serving too,
right?
But she didn't, ever reveal herself to be.
But it begs the question as to what the Faith Militant or the Sparrows, what do they really want with Loras and Margaery?
Yeah,
are they in the prison in the books, or was it just Cersei?
I think Margaery and Cersei both are.
Loras never was.
Yeah, he like goes off to try and take Dragonstone or something, and he gets wounded in some way.
Oh,
And yeah. It's kind of a question whether he's alive or dead, I think, at that point.
Okay. So Marjorie's in prison still.
Yeah.
But Cersei's not in the books.
Right.
So, but they've not done a very good job of establishing what
she
they
didn't,
want
she
out
didn't
of
do a walk of shame in the books. They let her go pending the trial by combat or something, right?
Yeah, maybe that's true.
And then
she did a walk of shame, didn't she?
Did
yeah,
she?
Yeah.
She I did. Think so yeah. Because I was anticipating her. I mean, we knew about that before it happened, having read the books. Because right. I was anticipating for a long time Cersei getting
naked,
you know, her
pervert.
No, covered in tomatoes.
Ah, yes, that's what I meant.
No, I think there was a walk of shame in the books.
You're right. I misremembered.
And that's the whole Robert Strong / Undead Mountain.
Undead Mountain.
Which will, I mean.
Right, so yeah. So
what's
so,
the reason for him to be around then for a trial by combat later on?
Have they called him Robert Strong on the show?
No.
No.
Because the last episode of last season's just the first time he shows up kind of alive again, whatever you want
to
call it.
Referred to now just the latest member of the Kingsguard.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
the newest member.
Conveniently taking a vow of silence.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Right.
Don't worry about the fact that his face is all purple.
the helmet was just really tight. The circulation.
So in the books, they think that the mountain is dead. Because that otherwise they wouldn't have renamed him when they reanimated the corpse.
Right.
To play him off as a different person. So I wonder if that's going to be true of the show as well. Do people think that it's the mountain just because he's so big?
Right.
They're not fooling anyone.
Yeah.
And then he takes off his armor and it's two guys, one on the other guy's shoulders.
And Tyrion on the bottom?
Yeah. Tyrion and, yeah, what's her name from the book, who he ends up with for a while?
Penny?
Yeah. And there's a pig on the bottom that they're riding on.
Well,
so what about Tyrion's storyline? So he's in.
It's kind of great. I mean, my favorite Tyrion moments are when he was the Hand in King's Landing, and he got to be in charge and make all sorts of shrewd decisions and save the city, and even though he never got credit for it and all that kind of stuff, he was never better than when he was, you know, in charge. So I think it's exciting to think that he'll get to, you know, come into his own in Meereen and basically save Dany from herself and straighten out that whole mess.
And I guess, I mean, we really only see, so him and Varys just kind of strolling through the streets, apparently dressed as
merchants.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we kind of get some, they have their conversations, the streets are kind of deserted, and you kind of see some, there's some weird camera views with, like, we'll see like a person kind of watching them through like the windows or something like that. So
yeah, just to give you a sense of suspense and think, worry that someone's going to jump out and stab at them at any moment.
Well, yeah, and they were talking about how everybody's in danger of being killed there, and yet they're wandering around the streets with no guards.
It seems implausible.
Yeah, the two weakest characters on the show, like in a fight.
Yeah.
Like, we're fine. We'll be good.
Varys' presence there is another one of those convenient sort of plot moves where he just like shows up as soon as he's needed.
Right.
And already with a network of little birds somehow.
Yeah.
And so they end up what? So I guess the Golden Sons of the Harpy end up basically burning all the ships, is what we see. Kind of. At the end,
they're seeing. Oh, right. So she's.
What do we know about those ships? She had ships.
She
had a navy, or she had ships at some point.
Yeah.
But didn't she sell all of her ships to buy the Unsullied? But then took the ships back as soon as the Unsullied sacked Yung Kai, was it?
Well, I think she just had the one ship before that she sold.
I think some guys came up from like Karth or something in the books, and she ended up getting some ships somehow from that.
Maybe it's too hard to connect the dots that aren't going to matter, I guess.
Yeah.
the show, I think this episode did a good job of kind of streamlining where they're going I mean, it's only from watching the recap of all the stuff that went before that it's kind of mind-blowing to think about how many characters have come and gone and how many plot lines. But things are streamlined now.
We're forgetting just someone we still haven't talked about.
Bran?
I feel like.
Did we talk about Bran?
That was in this episode. Still
haven't seen Bran yet.
Ser Jorah and what's his name? What's his name?
Dario.
Going after us.
Yeah.
Dario 2.
Yeah. Lesser Dario.
He's good.
Yeah, I'm warming up to him.
He's not the Dario from the book at all, really. Right. No. But
they had their.
Neither was the first.
Their talk was a little chummy, as far as loving Danny and.
Yeah, they were kind of dubious of each other because of, well, whatever. I mean, Jorah's just barely back allowed on the team.
Well, plus he's right. Just about to die anyway. So
yeah,
the scale. What is it? Stone
grayscale.
Grayscale.
Stone men.
Grayscale? No.
Grayscale.
The stone men have stone grayscale. Men.
What did the princess
Shireen
have?
She had grayscale.
So some dude slapped her in the face early on
when
or?
She was an infant. I think Stannis tells the tale last season.
Right, okay. Yeah, he does.
And explains how a team of maesters barely saved her life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yep.
So he told the touching tale to her of how hard he worked to keep her alive right before he just put her to the torch for no reason.
Fuck. God. So
that's a big end of a huge plot line if Stannis is done.
That's kind of a fuck up on the show, if you ask me, the way they threw away Stannis.
Right.
Likewise.
And you don't even, I mean.
Pretty meek. By the time the big battle happens, it's basically just a walkover. He's got nothing left.
Yeah. And when Brienne steps up to kill him, just like, hey, I've got a grudge against you for something you did 3 seasons ago. Right. It's like, all right, makes sense. I'd like to get home before dark.
And then Jorah shows his incredible ring-finding abilities.
Well, I thought about that, but...
I mean, they were tracking, so it makes sense that they found it.
But. Well, they kind of you could kind of see, like, there's the big brownish circle where all the horses were. Right, so they go to the middle, and... Yeah. I mean, but still, to find the...
Especially because they dropped it in the grass. Like, in deep kind of grass.
And how do you track somebody who is flying on a dragon? Like, there's no trail...
Yeah, how did they? Yeah, how did they get?
They tracked the dragon blood that was dropping off.
They were just tracking the general. Well, yeah, I guess there's.
They just headed north.
There's no way they would have known where the next ram carcass was going to show up.
Well, it's at least plausible that they'll be able to follow the Khalasar to wherever they're taking Danny. Sure. Now.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah,
that's well, and Jorah should know where they would take her. And actually, Daenerys should have known as well.
Yeah.
But it's just as a way, by way of explaining it to the audience.
She also should have known that, they kind of made it seem like she didn't know that, that a Khal's widow will go unmolested. She didn't bring it up, and she actually kind of looked a little surprised, like when he's like, oh, no, she's good. But she would have known that for sure.
She would have known all that stuff.
Yeah, the customs.
I think they even mentioned it in season 1 when they visit Vaes Dothrak. Mm-hmm. They went there in season 1, right?
Yeah,
where you can see all the idols that they took from all their defeated people.
And they mentioned that's where the wives of the Khals go.
Yeah. And that's did someone say to her after Khal Drogo died that that's where he ought to go?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's like, "No, we're
well, maybe that's why she brought it up."
So who else do we have? We had a little Arya. She's blind now.
Right, she's blind and starting to get... That happened in the books, too, her sparring with the...
The waif.
The waif.
Yeah, right? But I mean, obviously she's just out in the streets.
Well, I think her mission is just to learn how to be blind and listen.
Right.
Yeah. But also how to...
She's not going to become an intrepid fighter through this listening fighting, is she?
Isn't that the point of the beating that she took?
Jeez, yeah.
I guess.
It's to hear where your opponent is, basically.
Maybe be listening so that you'll know when I come to attack you tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a little Obi-Wan and Luke on the Falcon with a
It's a little Daredevil and
the blind, stick. The little shield thing.
Yeah.
The laser ball. Yeah. Whatever you want to call that.
Yeah. Practice drone.
The blast shield down. I can't even see.
Just use the force.
That was probably my least favorite scene of the week, just because it didn't really move her plot forward very much. But I guess it just reestablished, don't forget Arya, she's over here, and this is what's happening. They didn't waste too much time on it.
So we've got, we kind of had what, Ramsay and his dad kind of have a little conversation. Ramsay and Roose.
Roose is not pleased.
He's like, oh, maybe Walda's got a, maybe she's going to have a boy here.
Little jab. Hope you.
You kind of fucked up here, buddy. Yeah. You let your bride get away because you're, the whole Miranda is a kind of little side girl that he had who's getting fed to the dogs right now, but.
Practical. He's heartless.
Yep.
Well, so Roose mentions that Theon is the heir to the
Iron Islands.
Which I thought everyone had forgotten about by now. But apparently that still has some bearing, even though when he went to the Iron Islands, they said that's a bunch of bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
But they don't know that, I guess.
Right.
They think he's still a valuable hostage in some capacity, or Roose does anyway.
Yep.
So maybe that will come back around, that they'll, I don't know, just the fact that they mention the Iron Islands at all is probably a good sign that they'll still have something to do on the show.
Well, I guess we had, there was a Jaime-Cersei conversation?
Right.
They're kind of out for vengeance now.
But like, they're doing their best to kind of endear them to us, too, right now. It was a pretty...
Kind of feel sorry for them a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
Well, Jaime was like on a path to becoming a good guy, and then all of a sudden now he's just righteous anger. Let's Lannisters kill everybody and take everything. And as he said that, Cersei, it seemed like she didn't even want that anymore.
Right,
and
they're trying to humanize Cersei.
Cersei's just at kind
long
of...
last.
What's she going to do now? Who is Cersei going forward?
Fuck, maybe there will be a trial by combat, like you said. I didn't think about, the mountain, zombie mountains around for a reason.
Yeah.
So, maybe she'll bring her, they'll bring her up on a new charge or something.
I mean, I feel like they're going to kind of go after the Sparrows and the Faith Militant.
Feeling somebody's going to be attacking them soon.
Yeah. They got to get them out of King's Landing to reassert themselves.
Right.
And that sounds like a good job for Frankenmountain.
Frankenmountain.
So then maybe they'll have the trial and then whoever the mountain has to mutilate, and he'll just casually walk over to the viewing booth and finish off the High Sparrow at the and Septa bitch face.
Yeah. She was about to whack Marjorie with the book.
She's the other combatant?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, she might win.
Yeah. She just walks around with her holy book and smashes a mountain with it.
And her bell. Shame. Shame.
The mountain dies of shame.
So I thought John might live by... skin changing, or what is it? Skin walking?
Warging.
I thought he might warg into ghosts.
Right, that was one of the theories we read about all off season.
Bran has done, and Arya has done, briefly, just like one throwaway dream she had, basically, right?
That's right.
But they've both warged. So his siblings have warged. Has he warged?
He worked in the books. In the books he did. I don't think he ever has in the show.
I don't know if he ever got around to it in the show either. Which is too bad. Because that would have been a way... So,
good would that really do? He wouldn't be Jon Snow. He'd be Ghost.
No. He wargs into Ghost.
Uh-huh.
And then they go... And then his corpse becomes reanimated by the Walkers. And then he works from Ghost back into his reanimated body, and then he's John again, which I think is the backstory of Cold Hands.
Oh.
So he becomes a self-aware, autonomous who has influence on other White Walkers, perhaps. Because that's how Cold Hands rescued Sam.
Can't believe I'm going to say this, but that's kind of plausible.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, right? Right. I think, I don't know, I just put that together from reading stuff, and I could be wrong. So that was one possible way John could have lived. It's not going to happen, though. Unless we find out that John is in Ghost, but I don't think Ghost would have been behaving the way he was if John was in him.
No.
He wouldn't be, like, moaning and whimpering and licking at John's hand.
Right.
He'd be like, what is it, boy? Is there trouble?
So what do we think Melisandre's part is going to be in this?
I don't know. The only way he can come back to life is if Melisandre does something magical.
But Melisandre doesn't know. So here's my question then. In the show, as opposed to the books, have they really played up the idea that magic is just coming back into the world with the dragons? I know that's a big theme in the books, but I don't think they do that in... I mean, I know they have like the Red Comet, but they did not talk about how the wildfire is so much more stronger, potent now than it used to be.
They did or they didn't?
They did not talk about that. I don't think they did at all.
Okay.
And...
Yeah, in the book, they were like, we're killing it. We've got like 12,000 pots because it's working so well now.
Right, which exactly. They couldn't create it before. And then there was that whole...
What about Thoros? ...subplot
down in... He's a fraud. His flaming sword was a fake.
Didn't he say something to...
But he... In the show, but he doesn't really know what he's doing. He even admits that he like lost his faith,
He called himself a drunk.
He was just playing, and so he kind of found out accidentally that he could raise Beric back from being dead. But when Melisandre meets them and he tells her that, she's like,
she doesn't know about it. I don't think.
Yeah, she's surprised by it and doesn't seem to. Obviously think she can do it.
I forgot that they met.
Yeah,
because she went there to get Gendry.
Shadow Baby was real. I know that much.
Because she wanted to...
That's true, yeah. I'm just saying that... I'm not sure that there was this idea that magic was gone and then came back into the world.
Yeah, I agree.
Really well established in the show. So maybe Melisandre doesn't realize she had the ability to bring...
She knows she has the ability to conceal her true nature with her magical necklace.
Yeah.
Which she's obviously been doing longer than since the dragons returned. So she's had power long time.
Right.
Power lovey long time.
So I don't know. I think it's looking bad for Jon Snow.
It kind of is.
You know, and here's what I was thinking, that the big questions that we want the books to end, or to be written so that we get answers to, like the parentage of Jon Snow, that kind of stuff's not even going to be addressed in the show. I don't think they're ever even going to do that. Really? I think he's saving that for the books.
Didn't they just have a comment?
I think there's some Tower of Joy stuff that's going to take place
in the show. Really?
Yeah.
You think there's an exclusivity contract with the show? Like George R. R. Martin is like, you can't talk about this shit. That's for me, baby.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting point.
I think I would be shocked if there wasn't some plot points where he said, "No, I got to save this for the book."
Well, so, I mean, at this point, all they have to go on is his word about where they ought to go with it. Because, they're not adapting written work at this point. So they've clearly had some conversations about, you know, don't kill off so-and-so because they play a big role in the end game.
Right.
So at this point, so from watching the show to its conclusion, which will happen long before the book is done... At least that will sort of spoil the books to a certain degree. We won't know exactly. But certain people that live to the end of the TV show are sure to live to the end of the books.
Sure.
But I guess there's no guarantee that they're going to wrap things up the way that he intends to wrap up the books. Maybe it's almost better if he just walks away from it and says, you do what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Just say, yeah, do whatever you want.
He's getting old, and he's got to be getting tired of people being like, come on, motherfucker, you owe us. No one's going to like that. You know?
I'll like it.
At what age do you say?
But and the thing is, too, though, the thing that kind of bugs me is that some of the choices they make on the show are bound to, even unintentionally, influence the choices that he'll make in the books.
Sure. But they probably just... But there may be showrunners that come to him and give him ideas. Maybe they're shaping the book, you know.
You've got everybody kind of in Marine for... It's like everybody's going to Marine and then Marine in the Wall. So it's like...
Right.
Well, his original plan...
Something's got to happen with all these people at some
point. And all the Ironborn, too. I mean, yeah, there's...
They're going
they
down there, too.
They had a whole fleet that was sailing. Yeah. Weren't they all going to Marine, too?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean... Or, yeah, he doesn't...
Because Victarion has the...
Or, the Horn of... Does he have... No.
He has a horn that... They want to go to where the dragons are because he thinks he can control the dragons with the horn.
That's right.
Only, and that, only one way to find... out.
Yeah.
So... But there... So, and that's just completely absent from the show. There's that whole...
But I suppose they could just have Yara in a boat come sailing up with a guy with a horn and just explain it all at once.
I found this horn, guys.
I really hope that we don't go the ancient artifact route. You know, even though it was in the book, it's so done.
Yeah.
Like, so...
And they kind of did that already with the Horn of Winter, which turned out to kind of be nothing anyway, right?
They just destroy it in the book.
Yeah, just cleave it. Because wasn't Mance Rayder was supposed to have the Horn of... I don't even remember what it was supposed to do.
It was supposed to take down the wall, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did they ever get to use it?
I don't think so.
Melisandre burned it.
She burned it?
Yeah.
So it no longer exists?
Right.
Did she know what it was when she burned it?
I don't know. But maybe they just said it was a Horn of Winter and wasn't the right one.
Oh, shit, I burned the Horn of Winter.
Might not be it.
Again.
So we'll see.
Let's just forget about all these tidbits from the books.
Yeah.
Just treat this like an episode of, CSI Miami. Something might happen next week.
But somehow are we going to have dragon and or dragon riders versus White Walkers by the end of this show?
Again. Well, you know Chuck's running theory.
John was going to be a dragon rider in my theory, right?
I'm talking more about your idea that Tyrion was.
Tyrion, dragon rider.
And I feel like in the trailer it shows Tyrion kind of go down to where the other two dragons are chained up to.
I don't see how they're going to rule Meereen in Dany's absence unless
somebody gets on a dragon.
Flex the dragons a little bit.
Yeah.
And who is going to do that besides the guy that read all those books about dragons?
Sam. Just kidding. This direction.
He's read plenty of books.
Yeah, probably some about dragons.
Probably.
All right.
Until next week.
Thanks, everybody.